Welcome to Atomic Moms, a modern parenting podcast about the joys and complexities of caring for our children and ourselves. I'm Ellie Noss, and each week we celebrate and commiserate with best-selling authors, experts, and moms around the world. Hi, everybody. Happy 2018. I've missed you all, except on social media. You guys saw I was in Colorado. I met up with a couple listeners. We had such a great time. I got really sick over New Year's. I mean, so sick, like throw up. It just, I lost 5 pounds. Great way to start the New Year's resolution. No kidding. It was so bad, guys. So now I'm practically euphoric because I'm not dying. And also because I just listened to this conversation I will be sharing with you all with Rachel Blanchard. I didn't even realize how insane we are until I listened to us. And it's so much fun. It's so much fun. Rachel Blanchard is an actress. She is best known for the shows Peep Show, Flight of the Conchords, and Fargo. She can currently be seen on DirecTV's You, Me, Her. I also make reference to the fact that she played Cher on the television show Clueless. And we talk about her husband, Jeremy. Jeremy gave us the music for Atomic Moms. So that music you always hear, that's Jeremy's. And he is a former assistant principal cello with the Metropolitan Opera turned Emmy-nominated composer. So big loser there. Okay. You guys, I'm so excited to not be that sick. Just the sniffles. It's a really funny conversation. We talk about a billion different things. We kind of save the best for last. I really love what she shares about communicating at work. That's at the end of this episode. I'm all over the place, but that's to be expected. By the way, my childcare is now down to like half the hours I used to have. So I'm going to be editing less. This could get real exciting, guys. But I also have a really exciting lineup for January. I have Becky Friedman coming over to do an interview. You guys might know that name because you've seen it come up on PBS every day because she is the preschool teacher turned head writer of Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood. She's expecting her second child. And we also have an interview coming up with the lead education blogger for NPR, Anya Kamenetz. And she's got a new book coming out called The Art of Screen Time, How Your Family Can Balance Digital Media and Real Life. Also this month, Adam is turning 40. Yep, January 9th, Adam's 40th birthday. So we're actually going to Hawaii. He's never been, and I'll probably record an episode with him like hiding in the hotel closet or something. I have no idea. Oh my God, you guys, I'm just free falling. Okay. I have loved having conversations with you guys on social media and on our Atomic Moms private Facebook group. Everybody, here's my conversation with Rachel Blanchard. I wish I were recording that. Say what you just said again.
I have a bit of a cough, so I may be coughing today.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Yeah, I know. Wonder where I got that.
I wonder where she got that. Oh man, everybody. We have house guests.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
We are pre-recording this episode. It is December 16th, but we're going to pretend like it's January because that's when I'm releasing it. It's been a whirlwind of a couple weeks, but we have had the joy and honor of having you all with us this week, and it's gone by so fast.
It has gone by quickly.
So your beautiful Maxine is 7 months old. Mm-hmm. She smiles more than anyone I've ever met.
She is a very smiley baby. She started smiling really, really early. Thought it was gas. Realized she was smiling.
You're pretty smiley.
I am pretty smiley. Jeremy's pretty smiley, too.
Yeah. So, and everybody, the reason you are here is?
We are under evacuation, or we're under evacuation. The St. Thomas fire drove us out, and we were really, really fortunate in that our home is okay. But as everyone, or a lot of people probably know, it's a really devastating fire, and not everybody was as lucky as we are. So, and it's still being fought. I think it's raging in Montecito and Santa Barbara right now.
And yesterday, Jeremy went up with the truck up to your house. Mm-hmm. First of all, I want to share because I just remembered this. I asked him how your home was doing last week, and he texted a picture from the baby monitor, everybody. They knew their house was still standing because of the baby monitor video.
Mm-hmm, which was, and I remember saying to him, I think it was last Wednesday, and I mean, the fire was probably 0.7 miles away from our house, and I just sort of, it's a miracle the whole town didn't burn down, and a lot of more homes didn't burn down. And I said to Jeremy, my husband, I think we have to be prepared for it to burn down, and anything else is a bonus. And he had turned the monitor around so we could see the backyard, and you could see the flames in the background. And I told him, I think he agreed. I forget what his answer was. It's all a blur, but I wanted to watch it if it. I don't know why.
That's and a crazy thing.
Well, because I know. Because I think it all...
You just wanted to watch it burn.
Well, I mean, obviously the cameras would have cut out kind of early, but I think it's the only way it would have felt real. And because even driving when we were driving down Highway 33, and the whole escape was kind of... I really believe in evacuation plans now. Yes. And having emergency preparedness kits ready. So he had heard about the St. Thomas fire. I was in bed with Maxine. And because of the Napa fires, we were a little probably quicker to leave than we would have been otherwise. And I got out of bed 7 o'clock, and I was like, we're going to put our papers together, our passports, get everything ready. And he wasn't as worried. And then we decided to leave at 1 a.m. and I had this nerdy little kit ready to go. And of course, I thought he packed it. He thought I packed it. So that stayed in the house.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And then we drove out, and I said, I don't want to take 33 because there's going to be fire, and I'm afraid of driving through fire.
Meanwhile, Maxine's in the back seat.
She's in the back seat, happy as a clam.
Smiling.
She was sleeping. And we ended up, so we didn't take the 150. I think we were in a little bit of shock and not sure how seriously to take it at this point. And then we drive through 33, and everything's on fire on either side of us. And all along the 101 Ventura, I mean, everyone's probably seen the footage by now, but it was really, really devastating. But even that felt surreal. Even that didn't feel real.
I have a feeling watching something like that on a baby monitor would also feel surreal, though.
It would. I think it all would until you went to the site afterwards.
Ugh. Jeremy, I guess yesterday when he went back, he's from New York, and he said that it kind of felt like September 11th and the idea of like the way that the air was and that he has to cover his face to go back.
You have to wear a special kind of mask because the air is so hazardous because all of the different things, chemicals that burned, homes that burned, there's probably asbestos in the air and I think some oils burned. So he was wearing a special mask, and he said even that he felt quite nauseous, and yesterday was a tough day for the air quality because there was a lot of ash blowing in, and his car inside and out covered in ash.
Wow.
And
we're so happy to have you with us.
I can't emphasize enough how lucky we are, because I know a lot of people weren't as lucky, but one thing it did show us is we spent the first week at other friends of ours, and we got to stay with you guys, and everyone's been so welcoming and so kind, and it's actually been a really nice, fun time, which, you know, I mean, aside from the fire, that sounds kind of wrong. But it's been, in spite of the fire, I should say, it's been a surprisingly nice time.
And everyone, as you get to know Rachel through this interview, she is probably the most positive person I know. She could go through hell and back and be like, yeah, you know, it wasn't that bad. You know, I got to see some interesting things. I grew a little. You're like, what are you talking about? And maybe we'll dig into the birth stuff a little later in regards to that. But I wanted to first share last night, because you and I escaped.
Yes.
Sabrina had spent, my four-year-old had spent all day at like a winter camp, and then she went to her girlfriend's down the street, and then there was a huge meltdown about ending that play date. That was basically like a 12-hour play date. I mean, just, have you ever seen anyone that histrionic?
Maybe my two nephews.
Really? But I know. And you're an actress, so I feel like...
Yeah. But it was, she's so adorable, but she was a little unhappy last night.
She was a little unhappy. And we got our babies, my four-month-old and your seven-month-old, we put them in the carriers. Mm-hmm. I got these like fancy Dixie cups. paper cups that were actually from Sabrina's first birthday. They're floral. They look kind of like grandma.
Floral and sort of waxy.
Yeah. And put white wine in them. And we walked down the hill to this street that has restaurants and has this children's clothing store where they had carolers. And it was just so funny. The idea that we would take these babies out into the night as our escape. Like, that's us escaping.
But also, Maxine had felt like everyone warns you that your baby will fall off the bed, or everyone warned me at some point your baby will fall off the bed. And I was a little cocky when mine hasn't. And anyway, yesterday she did. So I was also a little worried because she passed out as soon as she got in the carrier.
Oh, right. I should have also had you all sign a waiver before you stayed with us. Because I was like, oh, my God, of course. Meanwhile, Sabrina's trying to win an Academy Award in the bathtub with her hysterical sobbing. I mean, and I was, guys, I'm very respectful of her feelings, but it just got, she was so tired. She had to let it all out. So Adam just sat there with his phone in the hallway and, like, let her get it all out. And we were like, we're leaving. So we had the concussed baby in one. And then Eliza is 4 months in the other, and she likes to face out now, but I think she might still be a little too young. Plus, I didn't realize that the buttons need to go down, everyone. So I was like, how does Eliza look? And Rachel's like, I don't think she's just, like, breathing. Well, you had to unbutton it.
I had to unbutton it, yeah.
So that you could see her mouth. Yeah. I was like, oh, that's how this flap goes.
Well, and then we saw another woman with her. We're like, oh, that is right.
That's what that looks like when they're slightly older and should be facing forward. Oh, man. But we listened to the carolers. You were concerned because she fell asleep.
And she was so still.
But I woke her up.
Yeah. I think you laughed really loudly. Ah, she's alive. She's okay.
She's happening? Meanwhile, I was afraid we would get arrested for our open containers.
Oh, yeah. You were really worried about that. I for some reason, didn't.
Because it felt like we were in college, you know, us with our college babies, like going down to listen to carolers at a kid's store with our glass of wine.
Because you kept on very politely. Well, you finished yours very quickly.
Yes, I was thirsty and I was desperate.
And you were worried about being arrested.
I was worried about getting caught.
And then you kept on telling me about your worries, and I was just holding the wine and be like, oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God, did you know how we're pretty close to Hollywood? There's a lot of, what if there's a checkpoint for moms walking their babies?
I'm not even American, so I could be deported.
They're waiting at the front door now.
Yeah.
Then you and I, oh, boy. We went into a restaurant. It's called Little Dom's. And every time I go there, I see, like, Ryan Gosling, or you see Anna Faris. You see all celebrities always, right?
Yeah, everyone's. And everyone always looks really cool. And
we show up. My babies just drool all down the front of our carrier. It's a Friday night. It's 6 o'clock.
Yeah, 6:30.
And we got a table.
The hostess did not look like she wanted to seat us. The look on her face.
Empty, so she was like, she didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
Oh, that was good. And then we're sitting at the table, and we both are, like, bouncing the whole time, just, like, neurotically
bouncing.
And Maxine's bouncing.
Grabbing the garland.
Oh, yeah, she
behind
grabbed
us.
The lights. Yeah. And the paper tablecloth was really exciting to her.
That
was a big hit. So that was our night out.
It was fun, though.
It was really fun.
It was really fun.
You guys should stay. I'm just kidding. But do you feel like, and you have experience with because of your sister, but like, is it weird to see what the babies grow into? Like, to see Sabrina, like the chaos?
Yes. I mean, I think my sister's boys, who are wonderful, but they have a lot of energy. So I think I haven't been around too many kids who really rival that chaos yet. And that's what I thought it was going to be like from day one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my nephew was a little colicky. And then our daughter, Maxine, has been, she's a pretty, so far, easy baby.
Yes.
So I think I was expecting full-on chaos. So I do feel pretty comfortable.
I hate that we're talking about this, like I'm sharing this in January, and I'm like, ugh, but... Do you have anything special for the holidays that you're giving any of your family members or your partner?
I haven't even. I feel that the—
You just evacuated.
I haven't even thought of it, but we are doing this year. We kind of felt like there are just so many gifts and so much stuff. So we decided this year to do like gift exchange where you choose somebody. But I need to think about that, what to get. I feel like you're really organized with that.
No, I did the photo album thing.
Oh, yeah. That's amazing.
As the listeners know, I had our family do a photo shoot. But, of course, I had to turn it into a moving announcement. Not that I'll ever end up sending anything out. But it was like a moving announcement, newborn pictures, headshots for me for the podcast. And I was trying to get a headshot in of Adam.
It looks great, though.
So I bit off more than I could chew, but it turned out marvelously.
Yes, better than
mine
did.
Everybody dislikes me, but marvelously. And so I spent all day trying to make one of those photo books, because you always think, and this should have been easy, because it's like a bunch of photos, but they're all the same, you know, from the same day. We're wearing different outfits because I'm crazy, but you would think that you just slide them in and it's done, but it always takes forever. And I went... In high school, I was in yearbook, and so, like, there are all these stupid rules about, like, you know, on the left side of the page, you don't want the person looking to the left, because then the eye is drawn to the left. You want them looking to the right. So it's, like, those weird little – it really scratches my OCD itch, and the site kept crashing. But Rachel shared something with me that you all need to hear. You got to share your photo album books. Oh, so anyway, I'm giving this photo album book to like everybody. And I think it's.
But that's the best gift.
Is
that's
it the best gift, I think, or it's is a really it good rude? Gift. Is it be like, here's photos of us?
No, I think it's a really good gift.
Like grandparents should love it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You think so? Or you think,
I,
or
now
you
that
think
you're saying
like,
this, I was like, I think that's what I meant to do for Christmas this year. No, I think that's a really, really good idea.
You do? Because mm-hmm. part of me is like, do they even want pictures
of
everybody?
I mean, if you
everybody?
Give it to a friend who
doesn't
yours really
is in your bag.
They might be like, oh, okay. No, but I think it's
a party
for
favor when you leave our house.
But I did that for my husband for Father's Day, and I was so excited. And I had Maxine. I had a bit of a rough postpartum recovery, so I was in bed rest. And you spend a lot of time online when you're on bed rest. And I was holding Maxine in that, you know, that football hold where you can kind of nurse in that way. And I think Jeremy was, I don't know, he was at work somewhere. Maybe he may have even been in New York. And I was making this book for Father's Day. And so I'm slaving away at it because I'm not very good at that. I would never have been on your book. I would have been kicked out for making too many careless
mistakes.
You're
just like in every page of the yearbook.
No, because I got too self-conscious, so I hid from the photographers.
What?
Oh, yeah.
You were Cher and clueless.
I know. I still didn't. Even now, if anyone, you know in Foursquare when you used to be able to post where you were and when you were there?
Yeah, well, that sounds scary.
Oh, yeah. And I wouldn't let anyone, or even on social, I'm like, well, don't let anyone know I'm there now. Not that anyone cares where I am.
Little paparazzi.
I couldn't care less. I just don't, you know, if there's anything on social media, I'm like, no, don't put me on it. I don't know.
You and your husband share that.
Yes, I'm not.
I'm going to circle back to this.
I'm a lurker,
oh,
yeah.
Okay. So everybody, Father's Day, you are slaving away. You've had a very, very traumatic birth experience. You are in, you had major complications.
Yeah, I had I'd fractured or bruised my tailbone playing hockey when I was about 14. I fell really hard on the ice. And if you have
such a hard ass, everybody.
If you have any tailbone injuries, of course, they tell you this afterwards as if it's obvious. You can easily get a hairline fracture, bruise your tailbone giving birth. So that happened to me. And then I also had, I didn't know that you could get a stunned bladder, basically. So I had some nerve problems afterwards. And
she's like texting me about catheters.
Yeah.
Like weeks after giving birth.
Yeah. I couldn't pee for a while. And I thought it was never going to go back to normal in about, I think, 8 weeks after it did. So it was a little bit challenging. And so I'm making this book.
It was terrible, everybody. She'll never say that to anyone. I'm telling you all, it was terrible.
It was more terrible in hindsight. You know what was really terrible was the nerve pain, because it would, mm-hmm. I don't know if any of your listeners have, I'm sure people have had this, but I didn't know that was possible too, just where it feels like a cavity in your pelvic region and it would like shoot up your
tooth cavity.
Mm-hmm. You know when you hit a nerve or...
Because I was like, I got a big cavity now down there, but that's just it's more of a cavernous cavity. Go on, sorry. Yes, it's like a shooting pain in your...
Yeah, yeah. Or apparently Ouch. Not everyone did this, but did you ever put your tongue on a 9-volt battery when you were a kid?
No.
No, I don't...
What are you talking about?
I'll do it.
You're such a badass. You would like suck on batteries?
Well, no, it would give you this volt, this charge.
What?
You never did that?
This is the craziest thing I've ever heard. Anyway, continue.
Well, anyway,
though.
So... It was nerve pain. It was pretty extensive nerve pain that, thank goodness, has gone. But so I was on bed rest for those reasons.
With a newborn.
First baby. And I was making this book, and you know, it's really finicky. You have to drag these little photos.
Yeah,
and
it's finicky.
And I think I was probably a little tired. But I was so proud of this book because it took me forever. And I thought Jeremy was going to cry when he opened it. I was like, oh, he's going to get emotional. It's this beautiful book. It's going to be amazing. And he gets
it. First Father's Day.
Yeah, he opens it. And the first thing he says is, who's Grayson? I don't know who Grayson is. Why are you asking me that? And I forgot to remove the template that says Grayson's dad. So the cover of the book is really, well, I put it also, a really terrible photo of Maxine where she's kind of like cross-eyed because I thought that was funny.
Oh my God, Rachel.
Oh, but she looks really cute now, but she does look really funny. And it says Grayson's dad. And I didn't know that you had to remove those. And I think they should be, I don't think they should be on there unless you opt to put it in. But anyway.
I agree.
Everyone else probably knows this.
It should be invisible. Like,
yes,
if you don't choose
to type,
you shouldn't have to delete it.
Mm-hmm.
That is too funny, though.
And then
Grayson's dad.
Then you get halfway through the book, and it says, we are family, 2012. Maxine was born in 2017. And then on some pages, there were two of the same photos on mirrored pages. And then there's one page where there's just one photo and the rest is blank. It's an awful book.
Do you have it? Oh my God, you guys
have
to be a picture of it.
At first, Jeremy said, I think we should put a new cover on, and then.
And then we decided, it's not worth it.
Then we decided it'll be a good memory. But it's the worst. And then I see books like the one you made.
Oh my God.
And I think that's what I meant to make.
I don't know. I sent it to everybody. There's like six of these books going to be out there in the world, and I don't know. Well, maybe I messed up somewhere. And then I just have to get over it. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, but it would be. I mean, thank goodness we didn't make it for everybody.
Like, this could be.
Something's wrong with
Rachel. I'll let you guys know. I'll follow up.
Yeah.
I waited to do our wedding photo album. You had like a year with a photographer to choose your photos. And I don't know why. Back then, now I think about like pre-kids. Like, I had so much time. What the hell was wrong with me that I didn't bother getting the photos in for the album?
I haven't done ours.
Okay.
Yeah,
but you have many excuses. I'm thinking back then, I'm like, I don't have any. But it was just like this leather embossed, you know, the real upsell, this Italian leather. We get the album and Adam looks at it and he just looks at me and he just shakes his head. We were married in 2007, but I ordered the book 2008. So the date of the album says 2008 because that's what I wrote in the email. That's what I said I wanted.
So and yours is on beautiful leather.
It's just stamped in there.
Forever. Now your children will be confused.
It'll be so confusing. I know. Yeah. Man, when they open up that museum of the steak heels, it'll be a nice little footnote. She was a dummy. What is wrong with that woman? She doesn't know what year. Anyway.
But you know your children's names.
That is true. And you keep calling Sabrina Ellie, so I feel super young.
Do you know why I keep calling her Ellie? Because
we're the same loudmouth, amazing person.
Well, no, but you are in all the same ways amazing. Because my friend's daughter's name is Ellie, and her sister's name is Eliza.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
That's so cool. We've run into each other. It's been... I feel like we're connected in that way. So to go back to social media for a second, because you were talking about how you're like afraid of social media and Jeremy's really anti. Can you, because I wasn't allowed to share it, because Jeremy so passive aggressively said, I hope these don't end up on the internet last night. What we did last night was like one of the coolest things I've ever, besides drinking.
Oh, this
is after we almost got arrested with the babies.
So Jeremy, my husband's a musician and he's a cellist and he played Christmas carols last night and the kids got so excited and had such a nice time. And actually, Eliza, it's interesting to see babies and infants' reactions to the cello because I think there's something about maybe the tone of it or the... timber. I don't know. I don't know. Jeremy's always telling me I'm using the wrong terms for these things, but
well, he's not here.
That just soothes kids and babies.
Mm-hmm.
And Eliza, she loved the Pizzicato. Yeah, the plucking.
She loved it.
She started to coo and
so
sing.
Everyone, to set the scene, we were in Sabrina's room. Jeremy is sitting on a Land of Nod little white chair.
It was quite a small chair.
It was such a small chair, and it's such an enormous cello.
And he's 6 feet, 6'1".
And in his case, there's a photograph. Is that of his mother?
That's of his mom, yeah.
So he's got a photo of his mother taped inside the cello case. He's sitting on this, like, tiny kid's chair. It's dark in the room, but Sabrina has Christmas lights in the room. It's very
really cozy.
It's very Stranger Things. With the Christmas lights.
Stranger
over
Things
the door.
Are cozy. I was thinking cozy, but
creepy
now
cozy.
I'll never see it. Yeah.
Creepy cozy.
I can make a dolphin noise.
Okay, let's do that.
So I have to gargle to do it.
Okay, two more. Ooh, that's pretty good. I also like the face that she's making. That's great, dude.
Where did you look that, Sabrina?
Sabrina, you've always been
good. Okay, I'm not even gargling.
All right, which one are we doing Silent Night? Is that the grand finale? Okay.
And we're all sitting there, and it's like the two babies, 4 months and 7 months, and then Sabrina's four. And we were all just like dancing and listening to this gorgeous music that Jeremy was playing. And whenever he would, yeah, Eliza in particular, like zoomed in on it.
She
and
loved
was, like,
it.
Very focused. And then when he would start doing what I'll call the plucking, she would start talking.
Yeah, and her legs started to move. And
yeah, she was really psyched. It was like. Talk about like a world-class baby music class.
And Maxine. Well, Sabrina was dancing around having a blast, and then Maxine decided to sing along, but it's not the most melodic.
Oh, it's so great. If y'all remember the seven-month stage when they're all—
Pterodactyls.
They're pterodactyls, but it's so loud.
It's so loud. It's ear-piercing.
Yeah. And she kept doing it in the restaurant last night, and it made me so happy because it's just this like, but it's so loud.
It is so loud.
And there's nothing you can do today. And why would you?
No,
except on the plane. That I remember that was anxiety-inducing when Sabrina was flying.
And everyone's staring at you.
Like, shut up. And you're like, what are you going to do? She's happy. She's talking. It was very, very special. And it made me think about, I was recently on a mom private Facebook mom group page, and Atomic Moms has one. Everyone needs to join it. Go to our Atomic Moms page, and then there's like a special little link you hit, and you can join our private conversations over there. But I was on a different mom one, and it was a mother saying how, I don't want to give any details because it's all private, but basically the theme was, I'm looking at social media, I'm seeing these perfect moms, and it's making me feel like crap. And I feel terrible about myself, and I feel jealous, and I don't want to feel that way. But, like, she's got all this perfect stuff going on. Okay, and I think that's a fair way to paraphrase it, because I feel like every blog post ever is about that now. And it just made me start thinking, like, I want to share my photos from I'm sure I will, like our holiday photos. It's just I don't know, that social media thing, especially around the holidays.
Actually, I don't love looking at social media. When I'm bored, I like looking at it, but then I feel like I've wasted some time after, because I can go down a real wormhole, and then you're looking at someone's photos who you don't even know who lives across the world, although that's fascinating half the time. But for me, I think it doesn't so much make me feel badly about my life, but I feel too exposed on it. If I could be guaranteed that it was just, you know, I'm on Instagram, but just with my closest friends and family. And I think I'm just sort of private that way, which.
You did no photos at your wedding, too.
Yeah, we did no photos at our wedding.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, I think the message got a little bit misconstrued because we didn't want anything on social media from our wedding. And then we did hire a photographer who turns out he wasn't very good. So he would cut off people's heads sort of.
No.
Yeah, from, you know, the top of your forehead above, or the person who's on the very outside of a row of people would be cut off, and they would be, you know, like Jeremy's dad or my dad, significant people. And so maybe if we had allowed social media, we would have had better photos. But then one of my friends who's a photographer took photos, but they also just had a baby, so who knows when we'll get the photos. But I just wanted people to be present. And I feel that sometimes with social media, people are spending so much time looking through their phones, taking pictures, mm-hmm. that they forget to be present. And I wanted to have some control over who could see our photos. I think that's why. And Jeremy's the same way. Like, we're both quite private. So
is that about tabloids or about exes or about?
No, it's just has nothing to do with sort of being an actor, or I mean, I really don't think a tabloid could care less, or they could care less. I think it just feels like something for the people who are there, and then mm-hmm. something that I want to share with people if I see them. I don't know. I think I'm quite shy in a lot of ways, so I think it's that. And Jeremy, I don't know why Jeremy with Maxine, we just don't want her on social media.
Yeah.
So we're both kind of protective that way. I'd maybe put the back of her on mm-hmm. something, like, or her hand, but Jeremy doesn't want her on it mm-hmm. at all. I don't know. It just feels like something I don't feel like sharing with the world.
Where do you think your shyness came from?
Both my parents can be very outgoing and really shy, and I think it might be a Canadian-British thing as well, slightly reserved, or I don't know.
But also outgoing.
And also outgoing, yeah.
So when do you find yourself being shy versus outgoing? Like, because I am finding that I'm more of an extroverted introvert.
I would say I am too.
And I, especially with the podcast, you know what I think is actually the children that make me need to be more of an introvert, because I'm so overstimulated by craziness and the yelling and the talking and the da 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 and other people's needs. And so it's like I need more alone time because of that.
I think I always needed, I love being with people, but I always needed alone time, a little bit of alone time every day. Or I can really kill a lot of time alone at a cabin somewhere. Or
how's that working out for you now that you have a 7-month-old? How's that alone time going for you?
Well, with her, it's funny. I was thinking about that today when we were napping. And I think because she's not running around making too many demands yet, I still feel like I have it. When I'm with her, it doesn't feel like I'm not getting alone time. But like I said, she is quite an easy baby. I think if she were, you know, she's easy to soothe if she cries. She hates the car seat. She cries there. But otherwise, she honestly spends most of her day smiling. So I haven't noticed that yet. But I think when she gets older, that's when I'll notice it, when she makes more demands. And her needs really conflict with what I want to do, you know. You know how 2-year-olds can be, or 3-year-olds. That's a different story, I think.
Are you going to get her in music classes?
I think so. She loves music. I've taken her to sort of a couple Mummy and Me music classes, mm-hmm. and she's by far the most enthusiastic person there.
Have she you loves noticed it. Any early signs of genius?
I don't know about genius, but I think she definitely has Jeremy's. She claps in rhythm.
Which, what?
Yeah, she'll be, you know, she'll
that
clap to the
advanced.
Beat.
Advanced.
I think she just hears it. I don't, you know, or feels it. And she'll sing. Her singing is loud and slightly off key. So is my. She likes my singing, which may point to some poor taste because I cannot. Jeremy will sing. Aww. I'll sing Baby Beluga. And he's like, this is going to make him seem like he's a jerk, but he's a great guy. Rachel. It goes down on Beluga, or it goes up on Beluga, and you're going down. So then I'm like, Baby Beluga. I can't. Just, this is what's coming out.
It's so funny. Just to like walk around with you is so funny. You are such a Lucille Ball, and it's like hilarious.
Our walk the other day where Maxine was just screaming in the stroller, and she's not usually a screamer, but she hates being confined. And
I just really wanted this walk. I was like, I just found out some like awful family news, some health news about a relative, and it was like devastating. And I was like, I'm just going to go on this walk, and I'm going to like, this is my exercise. This is how I'm going to cope. It's going to be great. And then poor
and you
Rachel.
Kindly invited me. No, poor you, because I didn't realize what you said. And you were being very polite, like, oh, if she's, and she was screaming. It wasn't just a, it wasn't a gentle cry. It was
she was mad.
Shriek.
She didn't want to be there. And I was like, here are my keys. Please go back to the house.
Well, no, you said, right, you're like, if you want to go back, it's like, oh, it's okay. And I think at this point I was in a little shock with the, I don't know what. I was so tired. And a little bit of shock.
Well, you're trying to be a good sport.
But then you said,
I was like, this is my moment of zen.
This is my moment of zen.
Which is an insane thing to say. And no. I get that. And I knew in the moment it was insane, but I was like, this is my moment. Like, I can't just have a screaming baby. I'm literally going to lose it.
No, but the most insane part of that is that didn't register with me because I was so tired.
Well,
I
said, like, what a crazy bee.
No, I said, oh, that's okay. And then afterwards, I was like, oh.
Meanwhile, she starts carrying this baby.
Asking me to go back, and I said, that's okay, I'll just stay with you.
So she starts carrying her baby.
Who's almost 20 pounds.
Oh, my God, which I didn't realize until last time when I picked her up. I was like, oh, she's so much heavier than my baby, so much younger. But you are pushing the stroller up this hill with the baby, and you're going, because I'm in this horrible state, which is why I really need to start meditating, I was like, we're going really slow. Like, I am not getting workout at all. And Rachel is dying. So I felt bad, and I felt also selfish at the same time. Meanwhile,
going to pick up on anything.
Oh, my God. My poor evacuation family. And I'm like, can you just keep up?
So I felt, but no, I felt so badly. I always wish on email there's like a retract and delete key. And I was like, I wish I had a retract and delete key so I could rewind. So when she said, do you want to go back? I could take this. No, because it was a nice subtle hint. And I was like, no, we're fine.
I gave you the key. It was like, just in case. And then because my other issue was like, I get so, this is such a mom thing. Oh my God. But that sort of the guilt, the feeling bad about that you don't potentially really want to be on this walk, that it's not enjoyable for you, that you're trying to be a good sport. And then I carry the guilt of that too. And that's why I was like, look, I've got the keys. Like, I don't feel any way about this. Like, but then she chilled out.
She
enjoyed it. And then we had a great walk.
Yeah. And I didn't, I felt more guilty than I was ruining your walk.
Oh my God. It was a great walk.
But I was really happy because I hadn't been outside in a while. So I was really happy to be outside. Walking,
because you're crazy, because you lick batteries and you play hockey and you probably build log cabins.
But
kind of, you do, don't you?
Well, I would like to. I like to build things.
But it's, again, everybody, this is like the face of Cher in Clueless. That's what's so funny about you.
So incongruent. Incongruous, yeah.
So the other, I don't want to lose my train of thought. Oh, I think also gave... I had a little hit of anxiety because I was having flashbacks to Sabrina, and I was like, oh, that's right. Eliza potentially won't be so easy to throw in the stroller soon because I remember with Sabrina, the arching back and then trying to get her in and the struggle of it all. And I was like, oh, I forgot that's on its way.
But not some of them like it, don't they? I mean, I think Maxine, I was working in Vancouver and we drove home with my dad. My sister, who was crammed in the back of interviewed,
yes.
Georgina, and Jeremy and Maxine from Vancouver to California. And I think that set off a lifelong hatred of being confined in a seat because now she just goes bananas.
Yeah.
She used to be better.
Well, she's always on Mama and she co-sleeps with Mama.
Mm-hmm. We didn't start off co-sleeping, but then we went to Jeremy's cottage and it was really cold in her little playpen. And so we brought her in bed. And then it's really hard to go back from that.
and also, you've been traveling so much.
We've been traveling, yeah,
so that
a
makes
lot.
A ton of sense. And so, when you were on set, you weren't around during the day.
Yeah, so I wanted
to cuddle time.
Yeah, and the cuddles are great too. But they do. I was looking on a blog about how to, because now she'll only go to sleep with me on the breast. She'll only nap with me or in the carrier. So I was reading this list of everything
hard.
You need to do. And I've done everything you're not meant to do.
Yay!
Yeah, so we have some. And then we were just getting on a schedule, and then we evacuated, which, you know, new beds. And
evacuated.
So in the new year, New Year's resolution.
How do you get anything done if the baby only can sleep on you or in the carrier? Because that happened with Sabrina, where it was only if I was walking her.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was really fit, really fit new mom, but I couldn't get anything done. Because you get things done when they're napping.
Well, I would do a lot. Before she was crawling around, I would have her in the carrier. I know this is all stuff you're not meant to do. So I would do everything with her in the carrier.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, and just try and get it done that way. Well, I don't know. I feel like you should be able to put them down. But now we can put her down. And she'll play on her own and things like that. So I can get things done there. But the truth is I can't get that much done. So that's why we have to figure this out.
That's why you did that Father's Day book.
Yeah, exactly.
Before next Father's Day.
Exactly.
You have to put her down.
But she is getting better now. Like I said, she can, now that she can sit up on her own and things like that. And
crawl. She's so delightful.
Yeah, she's really great. So, but she is getting better, but I don't think that's really going to happen until she can nap on her own. She was in the crib. We got her a crib that we got on this mom's group, and it was used in staging of a house. So it was a great deal.
Oh, wow.
It was enough crib. Yeah, and they said like it was really easy to take apart and put together. But they didn't have all the screws, and they're European screws. And then I wrote them, and the one woman who sold it to us was really, really nice, but she was selling it for a friend who literally sent a shruggy emoticon. Like, not my problem. But anyway, they gave us the money to get the hardware. We got the crib made. I think she'd be better now, but this was only like just a few weeks ago, and she would fall forward. And so she was walking around one day with bruises in the shapes of bars across her forehead. So then we were kind of nervous to have her in there because, you know, they say not to have bumpers, but she was just bumping her head. So now that she has a little more control, I think she'll be in her crib more. But that is something we need to figure out. Everyone else seems to have it figured out.
What are you talking about? Nobody has it figured out.
Eliza's in her crib. She's sleeping. She goes for naps by herself. I see you zipping around the house, getting stuff done.
Yeah, that's because she's a magical baby, and I don't know what happened. But my theory is, this is all evidence-based. Just kidding. The CDC thing just came out today. If you're wondering how to track when this conversation happened. Sabrina, I was doing SoulCycle, like, into the last minute. I was going on hikes that were miles and miles long. And I always had to, like, kind of bounce her and jiggle her all the time to keep her calm. And Eliza, I was on modified bed rest. And that baby doesn't want a lot of jiggling. Like, she likes walks, but she doesn't need it. There's no, like, active. We used to, like, pace. Like, jiggle and pace walking back and forth before putting Sabrina down in the crib. And Eliza, you can just, like, lay her in there. I know that another stage is coming. You know, there's always something on the horizon, like some awfulness.
Such an easygoing baby for now.
For now, until the next one. The next developmental stage. But she is such a chill baby, especially if she's with me. It's not tooting my own horn to say, isn't that funny? It's like, what is it about being a mom that you're like this idea that if I just say, I'm not going to apologize for it, it's crazy that, you know, if she's with me all day, she's extra chill.
Yeah.
Because I can also, like, it's easier to know what the rhythms are and you don't miss those, you don't miss the beat. But it's funny to even think that I have to, like, hedge saying that.
Yeah, you definitely don't have to hedge.
Bizarre. Yeah, I'm an awesome mom.
You are an awesome mom. Yeah.
I'm an okay mom. No, why did I do that?
You're not an okay mom.
Ugh, I'm an awesome
You're a great mom.
I'm a great mom who just went to the consignment shop because we're going to Colorado to see
my family.
Isn't
that shop amazing?
It's amazing. And I didn't have any winter clothes for Eliza and Sabrina. And Sabrina now has two pairs of leggings. She refuses to wear jeans because she doesn't like the button. They're uncomfortable for her.
Oh, I understand that.
Yeah, me too. But
jeans aren't that comfortable. Yeah.
I agree. We should just only wear leggings too. And I got a ton of stuff at the consignment shop because of you, and it's all your fault because you were recommending it. But these, like, mini Bowdoin tights were like $2 each.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I should have looked for tights.
So now it's all in the wash. And I won't tell my father that I went to the consignment shop before I go to stay in his home because this is not like an elitist thing. This is like he's such a hypochondriac thing that if he knows that like I went to a consignment shop and brought clothes home,
I think he'll bring bed bugs back.
Something. Yeah. I got really excited once I went to in high school. I went to one and I got some shirts and he was like, turn down the radio, everyone, if you have kids. But he was like, there's probably pubic lice. And I was like, what are you doing? I bought a polo shirt. Like, what is wrong? What? That's insane. Nothing. Yeah, you got nothing to share there.
Well, no, I thought of a really funny story, but then I thought, oh, maybe there are kids listening.
You're like, that time I had pubic lice.
No, two of my really good friends went up to these hot springs that we kind of live near now, and I was so excited about going in them, and now I can never go in them because my one friend, he went in them, and he's a bit of a germaphobe. And then he pulls out of his mud. Like,
no.
Everyone's covered. You cover yourself in mud.
Oh,
it's
no.
It's going to be really
no.
And he was pulling pubic hair out. And it was on his face.
No.
And it was not his. And now I will never be able to enjoy those hot drinks because that's all I'll think about.
The grossest thing I've ever heard. I was wondering, I was kicking myself for sharing my story. I was like, why would I share that? And then it's really because the universe needed you to share that story. Oh my God.
I know.
The other thing I want to bring up is, I've got two more things because we're running out of time, but we got to talk about two things. One is being direct in the way that you talk at work and stuff. And then wait, but the other thing, there was something important. I did an episode a while back with Jancy Dunn, How Not to Hate Your Husband After Having Kids, her book that came out, and she talks about maternal gatekeeping. And the concept there is new mothers will tell the fathers that they're doing it all wrong and do it themselves. And in that way, the partners never learn how to help. Right. And so that's maternal gatekeeping. It's sort of the like, you've done it all wrong. I'm going to do it myself. And then you feel crappy that you have to do everything. Right. I know how it goes. But I was testing with Eliza the maternal gatekeeping thing. I was really trying to keep it in check. And then I realized, like, it's not really maternal gatekeeping, it's learned helplessness. Like, some of these men, I'm telling you all, they are depending on us doing the maternal gatekeeping. And so I kept going like, it's okay. You guys will figure it out. It's okay. You'll figure it out. Oh, that's fine. It'll be fine. And he would just be like, no, but I don't know how to do this. And it was like he was so annoyed because he did not want to do it and to call his bluff. So other mothers out there with brand new babies, test that one out. How did that fare with you all? Was there maternal gatekeeping or was there helplessness?
I had observed maternal gatekeeping with a lot of my friends. And I noticed it just meant the moms didn't have a lot of time to do things. And I could see both sides, like the dad, it being convenient for the dads. But then with Maxine, because I was on bed rest for the first few weeks, Jeremy had to do a lot. And he actually really excelled. And when we went to, I was transferred to the hospital, but I started off at Del Mar Birth Center and they're incredible. And when you go to the birthing class, they divide the men and the women. And the women collect their herbs for their sitz baths and the men learn how to swaddle and change the diapers. So I didn't know how to swaddle. But I did learn. I was like, I actually did that when Jeremy would swaddle and he'd want me to. I'm like, I actually don't know how to do it. Like you do. So I did this. Good. I did. Yeah. I did that.
I'm not saying I don't do it in everyday life.
But then when I went, so in the beginning, it was great. And then I was shooting for 2 or 3 months in Vancouver.
Yeah. And how old was Maxine at this point? You're so crazy.
She was 4 months.
Oh my God. I mean, it's so insane.
3.5 months.
3.5 months. You've had this like really intense birth. You have all these medical issues and you're back at work.
Yeah. And I was back at work. And
in another country.
Yeah. Well,
without your husband.
In another country.
With your baby.
But a country I'm very comfortable with because I'm Canadian. So I was in Vancouver where I have some family. But yeah, it was far.
See how she does this, everybody? She's just like, no, it was good.
Well, it was, I was so nervous. The thing I was most nervous about was having a nanny who I didn't know.
Yeah, that's scary.
Yeah, because I feel like, yeah, and they can't say what they want or don't want. And I was worried that production wouldn't be as cooperative as they were. Mm-hmm. And they actually were very cooperative. So I had a trailer within walking distance. Any break, I could go feed her and see her. It was more tiring because you can't go back to your trailer and have a nap. But she would also sort of energize me. And then I was really tired after the shoot. You know, when you finish, you're like, oh man, I am tired. But it actually went.
And then you slept all night with a newborn.
Yeah. But wow. It ended up, it turned out really well. But two kind of negative things came of it. There weren't many places. We had to kind of carry Maxine all around because there weren't many places for her to crawl. And so the nanny was carrying her. I was carrying her. When we were at work, we were co-sleeping. And I was doing most of the soothing if the nanny wasn't there. And so Jeremy ended up being really busy during that time, and he would come on weekends and things like that. But when we came back, I was the one who'd been doing most of the caregiving. And then it was a bit of, then I think I've noticed since then a little bit of this learned helplessness. So I'm like,
It's learned by the other husbands. Yeah, that's what I should have shared. I was kidding, I was like, maybe I'm using that phrase incorrectly, like learned helplessness. But it is learned. You learn it from the other husbands. Or I guess you learn it from the wife because like she'll say, you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah. But I have been, we've been having some conversations about that lately. I was like, just do it. You know, he put her in these sleepers the other night that are really hot. And, you know, it's not good for babies to be too hot, and they just won't sleep. So I was like, the sleepers are too hot. And he's like, yeah, but I couldn't, I didn't know what else to put her in. Other pajamas in the big bag of clothes.
You know, they're right next to the bed.
Right next to the bed. So, yeah, we've definitely been noticing. I'm working on rectifying that.
Best of luck to you. You'll have to report back from the front line. Oh, my God. All the stuff you guys have been dealing with. Oh, man, it's so insane to... And also, you bought the house up north when you were in Vancouver.
No, we bought it when we were in Michigan.
Oh my God,
we had made a few offers, and we were all beaten out by all these cash offers, and we just couldn't compete.
They're also Michigan cottage people, everybody.
Yeah.
Just like us.
And so we...
So weird. I love it.
So we... I said, let's make an offer on this house, and we made the offer, and we got it. And I thought I was coming back to L.A. And then we just went to Canada.
Again,
and
then, when you went to Ontario, a three-month-old. Point being, you did not go back to your house.
No, I didn't.
You walked out of your house thinking you were going on vacation with your newborn. And then you never saw it again.
Yeah, I know.
Your husband packed it up.
I know. He was very good about that. But he used these movers who, he keeps saying they were really nice guys, but they put everything in boxes labeled stuff.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
No,
is that a joke?
No. I don't know what it was. But it's a sore spot because I think it was pretty stressful for Jeremy moving everything. And so I'm like, those movers weren't very good. He's like, I get it. They weren't very good, but it was really hard to, you know.
Stop.
Yeah, like, just look in the box labeled stuff.
I love it. So we both had bed rest. We both had new babies. We both, like, moved.
You had a major move.
Crazy major moves.
But your house is, you're all settled in yours.
That wasn't helpful. I was all settled in because we had that photos.
But see, that to me, that seems very ambitious.
It is ambitious. It's the only way I can get anything done.
I should do that.
I almost didn't. And my friend was like, just do the pictures. Who cares what happens? And I was like, there's a lot going on. I mean, there was like the fires were happening. Like there was a lot going on.
But your place looks beautiful.
But I was like, it's clean for once. Let's do it. No, I'm kidding. No, but it just brings me back to that feeling of like the social media thing of, when you're putting out, longtime listeners know I share a lot of stuff, warts and all, and on social media I do as well. But then I wonder, like, these pictures that are, like, really awesome, like, would that make another person feel bad? And I want to say, like, but I was crazy doing this. In part, like, you kind of want to, but I don't want to belittle myself either. But
I was going to say, some people, I could never make my home look as nice and cozy and charming and pretty as yours looks.
That's not true. I've been to the home that you just abandoned and never went back to.
But that took us a long time to kind of get together. Like my sister's really good at that too. And it is a skill really being able to pull a house together, you know, whether it's a big house or a small house.
But I also had help from our stagers from the first house that when we were selling our house, they helped us stage it. And then I asked them to help me with this.
Well,
and I just used that. I just like went with the newborn thing.
But even so, you know, like it is something you're really good at doing. Mm. Your old house was like that before you decided to sell it too. Whereas I can live, my dad we grew up renovating homes all the time and I can live in a half finished house.
I cannot.
For a really long time. Jeremy's going a bit insane. He can't. And I mean, I can do that for a while. So it just depends. Some people are better at that than others.
Yeah. And I think the more anxiety I have, like I cope by wanting to present myself better. So like in the past, if I was like putting on a lot of makeup and had my hair done, if my hair was blown dry, it meant that I was like kind of on the edge. Like things are falling apart.
It meant that you weren't very together. Yeah.
That's it's like an inverse relationship between like the outer appearance and inner turmoil. And I hope people realize that when they see these pictures that a lot of people aren't, or maybe sometimes they are happy and like you should be able to celebrate that too. But it's just such a weird.
Well, so it's not necessarily your photos, because those were also family photos, so it wasn't just, we're just frolicking in the yard looking this way.
And this wasn't even a personal thing. This is me reading somebody else talking about somebody else, and I'm projecting myself into the whole situation.
I do think it is when you see, I went to this premiere for the show, and beforehand, the other actor's girlfriend, who's very lovely, but she's on social media a lot, and everything always does look perfect. Mm-hmm. But then she said, let's take a picture before we go. And the special light came out, and it took forever to do. And I thought, oh, this is...
Is that how she does it? It's like a real thing.
Yeah, it's a real thing. And then I realized that that's the case. I've noticed some of my other friends, maybe not to that degree, but I'll see their pictures, and I'll see... And I just think, oh. Or I'll see the photo, and I'll have been there. And I'll think... There was a very different feeling in reality as to what was happening in that photo.
You're like, I was in that photo, and they photoshopped me out.
Wait, I was there. I guess I wasn't cool enough. No, but you know, you do see the photos, and then when you compare it to if you were there,
real life.
It's not the same. And then sometimes some of the most magical moments aren't in the photo, or if they are, the photo just looks so dull.
Yes,
you know, they don't always match.
It's very true. The photographer with our situation, she was so wonderful because she would just follow Sabrina around, and then, like, Sabrina, the first thing wasn't wearing what I wanted her to wear yet, but Aaron just follows her around, and it doesn't matter. Yeah. And those are the magical ones, right? When you just get out of the way. I'm glad I did some prep work. I'm glad that, like, her room, all the stuff was shoved into the closet. Again, what people don't see.
Yeah.
I was also so grateful that I'm not a lifestyle blogger, because I would have an ulcer.
Like,
just
that would
forget
be
it. It would be hell on earth
exhausting.
For me. I could not
do
it.
You have to be
it.
A certain kind of person
you
for that, too, I
think. You enjoy that, and I don't. I'll do it because I like pretty pictures. And I'll do it maybe once a year or once every few years. I have this big idea that I'm going to have a new website for Atomic Mama, so that was part of it. But, like, the closet was full of all of her junk. And that's what we always have to remember. There's always a closet full of junk.
Oh, yeah, there's always.
In the new year, when everyone's, like, trying to be inspired to have new bodies and blah, 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 like, start these new lives, just remember there's always stuff in the closet. Like, just...
Yeah, and I also think it's just... This is maybe easier said than done, but you really can't compare.
Mm-mm.
You know, everyone's situation is so different. Everyone's outlook and perspective is so different. You can't.
You have no idea what they're working with either.
Yeah, you have no idea what they're working with.
Like, cover up or from their past, or like, you just don't know.
Yeah, and there's always going to be someone more together, more stylish.
Everyone's way more miserable than they seem, Rachel, is what I'm trying to say.
That is true.
That is not true for you. You genuinely are like, you are, what's the stuff on, I don't cook, so I wouldn't know. On pans, Teflon.
Teflon.
You're Teflon.
Teflon's like, toxic.
Is it? Yeah, it is, isn't it? Well, you're toxic and glossy. No, nothing sticks to you. Like, you're so resilient.
My sister and I are both quite resilient. And I think my mom is, our mom is the longest surviving lupus patient that they know of. She's had it since she was 8 years old. And I think there's something about...
In the world?
That they know of, documented.
What?
Mm-hmm. Because, at least in North America.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. We were the first lupus babies born. Like I said, documented, because I'm sure babies were born to women who had lupus and they didn't know that they had lupus.
Well, Rachel, why didn't we lead with this? The podcast is ruined. Wait, what? This is insane.
Yeah, so I think that, but I do think that that has given us, and my mom was a very involved, but especially when we were little, was a very involved mom and an incredible mom. Ironically, I think she was a lot like Jeremy's mom, who I never got to meet her because she passed away when he was 24, but they seemed to have the same kind of zest for life. But we were independent in a way that other kids weren't. Like, we were making our lunch when we were six and doing things like that. And we're very, I don't know, I think it gave us a resilience and gave us maybe an understanding of, like, we'll both take things in when they happen to us. It's not as if we are in denial that they've happened. But then when I speak to other people who've had things happen to them, and they'll be, you know, still really dealing with it years later. Mm-hmm. And it obviously depends on mm-hmm. what it is, but I think that comes from my mom and living with someone who has a chronic illness. I think it just changes your view of life and how you deal with things. And it comes from the way she dealt with it and deals with it, I think.
So before you were pregnant with Maxine, you were pregnant with twins.
I was the first time we tried to get pregnant, we got pregnant with twins, which I was, they run in my family. My aunts are twins. My cousins are twins. They have twins. They're on each side. And I remember when I heard they were twins, I was really scared, really, really scared, because my nephews at that time were only 18 months apart, and they're adorable, but they were bananas at that age. And I remember thinking, if we have boy twins, it's going to be insane. But I was excited as well. I was really excited. And then I had a really early miscarriage. It was a miscarriage, so the heartbeat stopped developing at, I think, 6 weeks and one day. And that was, I'm sure a lot of your listeners have had miscarriages. And that, what I think was the most difficult about that was just waiting for it to happen and not knowing when it was going to happen. And also, you know, my sister had lost Charlie, which I think, well, it's hard
she
to.
She had a stillbirth. And longtime listeners will remember that it was a year ago.
Yeah.
So over a year ago. Our first pregnancy loss episode, Rachel read Georgina's piece, Stillborn.
Mm-hmm.
And it was beautiful. So you had already experienced that through your sister.
I had experienced that. And then my mom had a baby who now they would have been able to detect it at 20 weeks, but was incompatible with life. And he only lived, I think, he was her firstborn, my parents' firstborn, who was only, he only lived for a few weeks. It was something I was obviously very, and I'm still, if we have a second, it's something I'll still be afraid of, mm-hmm. even though it's not genetic or hereditary. That was really hard. And then I was really nervous when we got pregnant with Maxine that the same thing would happen. I didn't think it was real until I was really nervous for that 20-week test as well, because then I was nervous about, whereas I think, you know, people want to get by initially the first 8 weeks. Mm. And then I was nervous to find out that she'd be compatible with life, and she was, and everything was great. But that actually shook me quite a bit. But I went right into working after that.
Did working help you cope or keep you busy?
It wasn't the most positive working experience for me. Yeah. It definitely kept me busy. But I guess it gave me something else to sort of think about. It gave me a place to put my emotions, I found, you know. But I do think that's something, because then when you do talk to people about it, it seems like almost everybody's had a miscarriage. Yeah. I mean, I know it
there are
can't
so
be that
many
high, but
others. Do yeah. you, if there was one thing you would say to a mom out there who might be experiencing this?
I think let yourself grieve. I do think that's very important. Talk to the right people about it, because people love to, it's funny that I'm offering advice, but people love to offer advice, and it's often, I think people don't know what to say, so people can say things that, you know, isn't very helpful. But I do think even if you have had one, there's some comfort in knowing. It's probably difficult knowing that so many women go through it, but so many women experience it, and so many women go on to have healthy babies. And I think that that's promising. Like I would see my friends who had miscarriages, and then I'd be holding their baby or looking at their baby. I think that's probably.
And now a little Maxine.
And now a little Maxine. Yeah, well, not so little Maxine.
she's heavy. Well, I mean, like when I was trying to keep, I was just imagining you walking up that hill with her on your hip, pushing the stroller with the other arm. Oh my God, you're insane. You're like a lumberjack. You're like a supermodel lumberjack. It makes no sense. Yeah, the dissonance. It's like confusing. So with work, to close it out, so you went back to work. You're pretty no-nonsense when you're on set. And I want you to give us some tips for like how to be more direct in our own lives.
Well, I think I'm no-nonsense. I mean, I like to have a really good time on set. But I realize if I noticed that I would try and get things across, and sometimes they would just get buried in all this, in other words, I think. And I would be observing people kind of, it depends on the person. Some people, if someone's not a good communicator, I should say, mm-hmm. there just seemed to be all this other stuff in the way that made it really confusing, and you had no idea.
It's like listening to me on the podcast.
Or like me, because I'm so tired, like just rambling. But it was very difficult
so tired,
to see
us.
what you know, what was, it was like spaghetti conversation. She didn't know where one part of the noodle began and the other ended. Mm. And I
literally described Atomic Moms. Atomic Moms, the spaghetti podcast.
The spaghetti podcast. And I think I just found if I were, you know, always polite and respectful and direct, it was the most effective use of time, because you're always kind of on the run and you didn't have to deal with a lot of bullshit. Like, there was just so much, so much bullshit sometimes where it just, I'm like, why are people talking about this? And it's all about egos and these other things. So I found myself, it's in very specific circumstances. Like I said, if the communication's good, you just kind of talk and you're relaxed and it's normal. But when communication's not very good, and I don't know if this is most effective, but it's what I find to be effective, is I almost speak in the imperative and I'm kind and polite, but I just have to be really direct, because then there's nothing cluttering what I'm saying. And so then someone can't say, well, you said this, so you know.
So mainly, will you let there be a pause then? Like, you'll let there be an awkward pause. You'll just sit in
I will let there be a very awkward, a long awkward pause. Because I remember once I was being pressured to do, be naked in the start of this movie, and we had signed a nudity rider where I'd be wearing a robe and just kind of looking over my shoulder. And the director came in and he said, well, we need you. I didn't know that you weren't going to be naked. And I said, you did know that, but it's in my nudity rider. And then he just said, well, the movie's not going to work if you're not naked in this first shot. And I said, well, like I said, I signed this nudity rider and I don't agree. I think it will work. It would have been completely gratuitous. So I'm not, he said, will you do the nudity? Well, no, I said, so I'm not comfortable doing the nudity. I'm not going to do it. And he said, well, we need you to do it. And I said, well, I'm not going to do it. And then he said something kind of threatening. I forget what it was, and asked me the question again. And I just sat there staring him right in the eyes.
And he's threatening your job.
Yeah. But I was having this dialogue in my head the whole time, being like, I can't believe he's doing this. I signed this writer. But I stared at him the whole time. And then I would eventually just be like, shrug. Mm-hmm. And he'd stare at me. I mean like a 3-minute silence.
Wow.
And then it would make me smile, because for some reason I started to think it was like so awkward. It was funny. Yeah. And he wasn't leaving, which must have just looked kind of maniacal. I was like, your listeners obviously can't see this, but I was looking like this.
Yeah, it goes back to like the emoji shrug. Like, this is what I'm taking away from this whole conversation, because the woman with the crib about the like, which, by the way, I would have been like that too. I'd be like, well, I don't know where the screws are. What do you want me to do, lady? It's your problem. But yeah, that emoji shrug, like, maybe it's so funny, because I feel like January is all about like hard charging, but maybe I should be more focused on, like, throughout the week, I'm just going to do the emoji shrug in my head and see where it leads me. Just shut my mouth and do the emoji shrug in my head and see what presents itself.
Well, because every time
I talk myself into a hole,
that's what I'll do. Every time I speak out of discomfort,
I don't know. And it's like,
you know, it's
like, I live there. Oh my God.
Well, then I just say things that I don't, sometimes I say things I don't even mean, or so I've just decided.
And then I'm like, but I didn't follow up enough. Yeah. Like, even the following up, when I think about the social media thing, that what I wrote about, like, not feeling like I'm enough. And then I, 5 minutes later, I'm like, oh, I should do a follow-up to that comment, because what they don't understand is this, this, and this. There's always a follow-up.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. When you start digging that ditch, there's always a follow-up. And then suddenly you're in China.
Yeah. And if you're just comfortable with the silences, or enjoy the awkwardness of them, which sometimes I do, I think it's kind of, you know, if someone's bullying you, or if there's...
Yeah, you like the power trip.
Yeah, it's just like, just be kind of quiet. But my dad's a master of that. My dad will, if he doesn't know what he thinks about something, or he doesn't approve, but he doesn't really want to get in an argument, he'll say, And I realize I've kind of adopted that. Jeremy says that all the Blanchards do that. We just go, And even my little nephews, you'll say something like,
Oh, I love that.
And it's very noncommittal.
It's so avoidant. I love it.
Mm. Yeah, you're still listening, but... It's probably kind of an awful
thing. Oh, that'll flip Adam out. Oh, that'll really make him boil. I can't wait to try it tonight. Let's go back inside and have him try it. The men are with the children right now.
Hopefully bringing us back donuts. I asked for donuts.
Yeah, I'm sure Adam. Yeah, yes. Wow, why did I say that? Because earlier today, he had to take the dog to the vet for boarding. And he asked me if I wanted anything. And I said no, but I didn't know he was going to REI. So I call him from the consignment shop, because everybody had got a parking ticket trying to save money at the consignment shop. This is so insane. And he tells me he's at REI. And so then I go into the classic I'm just tired and pissy thing of like, well, you're at REI. Like, I would have liked to, like, why didn't you tell me you were at REI? There's like, I have nothing to wear to Colorado. It's going to be like 20 degrees and I've got nothing. I got mad at him and he's like, well, yeah, I asked you if you needed anything. And I'm like, well, I didn't know REI was on the table. Yeah. I didn't know you meant.
Like, he didn't know your options.
Yeah. Like, oh man. So then I know that if, when, yeah, when they come back, I was just thinking, like, he probably won't have a donut for me because I didn't ask him for a donut because I didn't know that was on this.
Well, Jeremy may forget the donut.
we'll report back on that as well. Okay, everybody, follow us on social media at Atomic Moms. Don't follow Rachel because she doesn't believe in it. Subscribe on iTunes, itunes.com/AtomicMoms. Leave a review. It helps us with our ranking and to find new listeners. Check out our website, atomicmoms.com. What else? Oh, our Facebook private page. And I love it when you guys comment on Instagram. I've been having a lot of fun with you guys there. All right, everybody. Until next week, trust in your goodness, live out your greatness, rock on, Atomic Moms.